FantasyPoints.com and the 2022 Franchise Focus Series is sponsored by Underdog Fantasy, the best and easiest way to play fantasy sports, with no waivers, trades, or lineup setting for season-long drafts. New users can sign up to Underdog Fantasy using promo code FANTASYPTS for up to $100 in bonus cash on their first deposit. That's promo code FANTASYPTS. Head to fantasypoints.com/underdog for more information. Now, let's get to the show.
It's time for the Fantasy Points Podcast, brought to you by fantasypoints.com. Top-level fantasy football and NFL betting analysis from every perspective and angle, from numbers to the film room, with a single goal: to help you score more fantasy points.
Y'all know what we're doing here. It's the Franchise Focus Podcast series here at fantasypoints.com. My name's Joe Dolan, but you know that already. I'm really excited for today's guest to talk Tennessee Titans. His name is Teron Davenport. He is erstwhile of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and covering the Philadelphia Eagles, but now he does a phenomenal job covering the Tennessee Titans for ESPN NFL Nation. You can follow him on Twitter at @TDavenport_NFL. Again, his name is Teron Davenport, and he is so kind to take a few minutes out of his day to talk to us here on the Fantasy Points Podcast. Teron, thank you so much for joining us, and how are you doing? You ready to talk some Titans?
Oh, yeah, I'm doing really well. Appreciate you having me on. I'm definitely ready to talk some Titans. Let's do it.
Okay. All right, Teron. So, obviously, the thing that a lot of people are going to wonder now with the Titans, we know the Titans are a run-first team, but even when Derrick Henry was popping for 2,000 yards a couple of seasons ago, you had two, maybe not alpha dog receivers, but you had an alpha dog receiver in A.J. Brown and a really good number two in Corey Davis. You know, A.J. Brown's going off for 1,100 yards when Derrick Henry's running for 2,000 yards, and now I think the average person's going to look at this passing game and wondering, where is the production going to come from? You trade for Robert Woods, the Titans do. They draft Treylon Burks. But based on your observations at OTAs and heading into training camp, where are the Titans with this passing game? How confident are they in the ability of the new faces to replace that the production of A.J. Brown?
Well, yeah, they're always going to be confident that they could do what they have to do on game day. But just in watching them in OTAs and minicamp, there really has been a lack of impressive plays from the wide receiver position. So I would say it's going to come from Robert Woods once he gets fully recovered from the ACL, which, you know, he tore that in November, his left knee. And just to be out there for OTAs was a huge accomplishment in itself. So we'll see how that comes along. I think the same could be said for Treylon Burks. Just how is he going to be able to get acclimated to Nashville as far as the asthma condition. So it will probably come from those guys. Nick Westbrook and Kenny is another guy that they like to target. So I think those are the three names receiver-wise that they'll go to in order to try to make up for the loss of A.J. Brown.
You know, I'm sure you've heard this question a million times, but there were a lot of comparisons to A.J. Brown from about Treylon Burks. And obviously the Titans essentially used the pick they got for Brown to draft Burks. I know the asthma situation, the allergy situation that was very visible in mini camps and OTAs popped up with Burks. But did you see any of that usage with Burks similar to the way the Titans have used A.J. Brown in the past?
As far as the Titans doing, showing signs of it already?
Yes, as far as the Titans showing. I know you've probably studied the player, but I mean, did you even get the opportunity to see that, or was Burks not even out there long enough?
No, I mean, they wouldn't have really. Right now, it's just mostly basic install. Even if he was out there consistently, they wouldn't have gotten far into detail as far as how they're going to use him to replace A.J. Brown and the different things. It's still early. That's something that, you know, they're still working to install and get going.
Did you notice Robert Woods favoring that left ACL at all? And I mean, not that would be a surprise. As you mentioned, he tore in November. But did you notice that there might have been a little bit of a hitch in his giddy up?
Yeah, I mean, naturally, there's going to be a hitch in his giddy up. That's something that again, just him being out there after tearing it in November is an accomplishment in itself. There was somewhat of a hitch. You could tell, you know, when he goes to plant off that left leg and turn like through some of the drills and things. But I still think it's really positive as far as the direction that it's going.
I don't think it's going to come as any surprise to people where the ball is going to go for the Titans when they kick off in week number one. And presuming he's healthy, Derrick Henry is going to get the football. And especially with all the questions we have about the receiving group. Now, of course, Derrick Henry, a guy who's been pretty indestructible in his career thus far. Heading into last season, he had missed only two games, as you well know. But now he's coming off a season in which he missed nine games. Yes, he did make it back to the postseason. And as we know now, I mean, this is a guy who has over 1,500 touches, counting playoffs, in his NFL career. How confident are the Titans in Derrick Henry's ability to recover from the foot injury from last year and handle what is certain to be, presuming he's healthy, yet another absolutely massive workload as he tries to carry this offense?
Yeah, they're fully confident. That's the plan, is to run the football. That's the brand of football that they play, and that's what the offensive coordinator said. And that's going to be the case regardless of whether Henry's there or not. I think that's why they added Hassan Haskins as an option in the fourth round. But they'll continue to focus on Derrick Henry. He is the catalyst for the offense. So they're 100% confident that they'll be able to execute it just as they did before.
Not to say that he was able to handle the offense in a similar way as Henry, or be kind of that just like dynamic force at the running back position that we just don't see a whole lot these days. But were you a little bit surprised that Deontay Foreman didn't re-sign with the team?
I was surprised that he didn't re-sign. I thought for sure that he would be back. Going to Carolina kind of confused me because it kind of put him in the same situation. But at the end of the day, he did what he felt was best for him. I think, you know, being back with the Titans would have been a better deal for him.
Yeah, so we know the Titans understand the importance of that backup running back position. Just a couple of years ago, you know, they spent a third-round pick on Darrington Evans, and things didn't work out for Evans with injuries and all that stuff. But you mentioned Hassan Haskins. You bring him in with a fourth-round pick, and you know, when it comes to Haskins, I think he's a guy who's probably a little bit of a no-nonsense runner. You know what you're getting with Haskins. Is there a scenario you see where he essentially works himself into being the number two behind Henry and maybe even getting on the field right away as a rookie?
Oh, he'll get some playing time as a rookie. I don't know about being the number two because they really like Dontrell Hilliard, and he will probably be a third down back. But they'll use Haskins to get – just to get Henry some time, you know, to give him a blow, right, and to keep that workload from being, you know, in the high 260, 270s like it's been before.
Now let's get to the quarterback position. And we had heard speculation, you know, before the draft. I don't know if it was informed speculation or, you know, just draft Knicks trying to create something spicy. And talk that, hey, you know, don't rule out the Titans as one of those teams that can maybe surprise you in the back end of the first round, draft a quarterback. As we know, the quarterback position was, this class was just derided essentially by the entire NFL, with only one player, that being Kenny Pickett, going before the third round. But the Titans end up getting a guy in Malik Willis who many had projected, as a matter of fact, I would think most had expected him to go in the first round of the NFL draft, whether that be in the top half, the back end, or wherever. They bring in Malik Willis. Ryan Tannehill's got a contract that the Titans can get out from under in a short period of time. What should we be looking at here with Ryan Tannehill vis-a-vis Malik Willis? Is this something where, given Tannehill's success, I would be surprised, but is this something where if things go off the rails, we could actually see Willis play at some point as a rookie?
Yeah, it's not likely. They're taking more of a developmental approach with him. They're starting from the ground up. They're working on the operation now. And I would highly doubt Willis will see significant time this year. It's more of a down-the-line approach for him.
How did Tannehill react to the pick of Willis? You know, I don't ever expect a guy's happy at the quarterback position when they select somebody in the first three rounds. But the comments were, oh, I'm not here to mentor. We've heard that from 100 guys in the past. Did you think that was adequately reported? Was it maybe a little bit overblown, maybe a little bit of both?
Well, it was overblown, and it was taken out of context. He was simply saying that his job is to make sure that the Titans are a winning football team, that they win games. So that's really what he was getting at. He understands the quarterback room, the dynamic, and tell you the truth, he's actually already been working with Malik Willis in different things, and you see them communicating on the field, and he's being a mentor, whether he says it or not, it's happening. And he had Malik Willis in the offense, the rookies over at his house, and you know, Malik Willis said that the relationship is fine and there's no issue. So I think he took it well. He understands the situation. I mean, he was once drafted to be the quarterback, and he went in and he took the job, you know, his rookie year with the Dolphins, and he gets how the process works.
Hey, Fantasy Points listeners, Ben Kukanis here, letting you know that the Franchise Focus series of podcasts is brought to you by Evans Sports Cards and Collectibles, the best place for cards, collectibles, autographs, and more. All of our memorabilia giveaways are always from Evans Sports Cards. He always has the latest boxes and releases from Panini, Upper Deck, Tops, and more. It's a family-owned small business, not a superstore that you have to deal with. They're located in South Jersey, so great for an in-person visit, but just as good to visit their eBay store as well. Follow at Evans Cards on Twitter for weekly updates and card releases. Like them on Facebook, and head to evanssportsnj.com for more info, including the always updated eBay store. Some releases this week are the 2021 Panini Contenders and Optic Football, as well as the 2022 Panini Select Baseball. That's evanssportsnj.com online and at Evans Cards on Twitter. Tell them the guys from Fantasy Points sent you.
So, just going back a little bit, because as you know, the Titans aren't necessarily a team that's going to have production coming from all over the field. I think that's pretty obvious. It was even obvious when they had the great offense a couple of years ago. I think there are some who are puzzled, many maybe, who are puzzled. A.J. Brown, 24 years old. He doesn't, 25 in late June. I think by the time we publish this, he'll be 25. But ultimately, the guy's really young. Philadelphia signs him to a $100 million contract. A lot of folks are wondering, why did the Titans move this guy? Why were they eager to get out from under A.J. Brown and essentially replace him with a player who, if all things work, he becomes A.J. Brown? Was there concerns about the knee? Were there some other concerns? What was your whole read on that situation and how that relationship went sour?
No, they wanted to sign him. I mean, they were willing to go, you know, up to $20 million, and there just was a disagreement that happened, and they weren't able to get on the same page as far as the necessary compensation, and a trade was demanded, and here we are. So it wasn't any worry about his knees or anything like that. They felt he would still be the same player, and that's why they offered it. You know, their offer was reportedly up to $20 million.
All right, Teron, I'm going to put you on the spot here for some of the fantasy players listening, because and I'm so upset to do this to you, because I know the Titans are just such a team where we kind of feel like we know where the ball's going to go when it goes somewhere. But if there were a player who might not be on the tip of the tongue of like the average football fan right now, who could come out and maybe run for 600 yards or maybe catch 50 or 60 passes on the Titans, maybe somebody we haven't talked about yet, who do you think is that player who might surprise a little bit this season?
Yeah, I think it's Austin Hooper, the tight end. He and Ryan Tannehill are working to really establish a connection. He's shown himself to be pretty crafty as a route runner. And that's somebody that's really going to be able to benefit, you know, work in the middle of the field, which is an area that Tannehill likes to attack. And there's a 23% target share that's up for grabs with A.J. Brown being gone. So I would imagine he'll benefit from that.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people forget that, you know, even when A.J. Brown and Corey Davis had that great season in 2020, obviously Derrick Henry there as well. Jonnu Smith was actually a big part of that offense. So there's certainly a role there for somebody to come in and take some targets.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's where Hooper comes into play. Mm-hmm.
Teron, thank you so much for joining us here on the Fantasy Points Podcast and the Franchise Focus Series. Y'all know we're going to have all 32 teams covered with a great beat writer. You can follow him on Twitter at @TDavenport_NFL. He covers the Titans spectacularly for ESPN NFL Nation. His name's Teron Davenport. Teron, thank you so much for joining me, and we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
No problem. You got it. Appreciate you having me on.
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Fantasy Points Podcast. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite platform. And come join the roster at fantasypoints.com.